We're on.
Hello.
I'm gonna need my sunny.
Well, now I gave you a hug. Oh. And I'd send you a look.
We need a hug.
Oh, we didn't do a hug.
We can still, before there's another wave of COVID.
yeah, exactly.
Who the hell knows what's going on here?
Who the hell?
How are you? How have you been? How are you?
Well, I'm happy it's sunny. We're in the park.
I know. We're in Dapple right now.
We're in Dapple, yeah.
We're in the liminal. Back to that word.
Between two lots of rain.
Yeah, between two lots of rain, between the sun and the shade, sort of a bit of an autumn crispness.
Yes.
But a bit of warmth still.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm going to wash my sheets today while the sun's out.
Oh, that's very luxurious that you have a laundry because I'm renovating. I don't even have a shower.
Oh,
I go to people's houses.
Oh, no.
Shower and do my laundry at the moment. It's a little sad.
That's brutal.
Only a few weeks, only 3 weeks, and then after that I'll have a shower and a laundry again.
And a nice one.
Yes, it'll be amazing. But till then I'm living amongst plastic and yes, I washed my hair in the kitchen sink the other day. It was very embarrassing.
And workers breaking in at 7 a.m.
Oh god, yeah. But they're working hard. They're on schedule.
That's good.
I'm very happy with
that. She swan passed in your dressing gown.
No, I make sure I'm fully dressed.
Right before.
Yes, no. As gorgeous as these lovely tradies are, no. And poor little Oscar, he's now shoved into daughter's bedroom with guilt food, a mountain of guilt food and kitty litter. Lots of soft toys
and
whatever.
Oh, and he really can't be let out.
No, because he's a Houdini.
Yeah.
He's an escaping artist.
No.
But it's all coming together. It'll all be good.
A
couple of months will be done.
It's horrible, but it's worth it.
You know what? It's first world problems. In light of everything else that's going on, seriously. I mean, floods aside, which are horrific, and I was reading up about it on the weekend, that the actual, although it was a very condensed period, the amount of devastation to lives and homes is on par with the bushfires.
Yes.
You know, we've had something like 24 people die across East Coast. Over 3,000 homes completely destroyed, let alone those that are partially destroyed, which means, half of your house is full of mould, which means all of it will be soon, and some people can get funding, other people can't. Scott Morrison's doing the good old, it's the state government's responsibility.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, that's what everyone...
I swear, if he gets back in, I mean, oh my God, I can't even.
I know, I was catching up with a friend the other day and we were just discussing how he's possibly the worst Prime Minister ever in Australia's history. I mean...
The lack of humanity, dealing with, it's not my responsibility, kind of, is such poor leadership. It's leadership 101. You take charge, you coordinate, you lead the people, you give them hope, you inspire. Now, you might not be able to fight the fires, and I get that, but don't go on holiday.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if there's a horrific flood, respond to the requests when there are made. You know, don't wait for it to get horrific and catastrophic.
I know. If the government can't support and help when these things happen, and it's not about solving all of it, but it's just the complete absence of...
Absolutely.
Help. I mean, these people must have felt like they were just abandoned.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah,
just so bad. And then, of course, the war in Ukraine.
So this has all happened since our last podcast.
Indeed.
The world's just been tipped on its head.
Totally. And here we thought we were coming out of COVID and we were coming into a new year and a lull. Dare I say, a mild lull of some kind of description. but, you know, I saw a funny post on a meme or something saying something like, those 3 days between COVID and World War III were really really pleasant. Or, Putin, I didn't get my World War III outfit. You know, I've just put away my COVID. I don't have my World War III outfit yet. You know, it just feels like it's horrific. It's just very unsettling and very overwhelming as well.
Yeah. And it's really hard not to doom scroll. I do find that difficult to resist, to just sort of check in and...
I've been watching the news way more than I normally do, and every time I watch the news, I'm in tears. I'm literally bawling. It's overwhelming. And but there've been some really interesting things. I don't know if you saw my post on the socials. So I've booked in a few nights here and there, a week here and there, actually on Airbnb.
Oh, right.
So I've got a place in Erpen, which doesn't literally actually exist anymore because
it's been bombed. Right.
But I'm staying there from Sunday night for a week.
I've heard about this Airbnb.
Yeah, Vadim and I have been messaging, and he's got a 3-year-old son and his wife, and they're all currently bunkering down in Erpen, which is like completely just decimated.
And so you feel like you're actually connecting with someone and helping.
And then I did try and get someone in Kiev, but unfortunately they didn't respond, so the booking was released. But like, I'm thinking, well, you probably don't have internet, accept the booking, whatever. And then the other one was in Kharkiv as well.
Okay.
I think I might need to do one in Mariupol, because, I mean, that's just devastating what's happening there. So, I mean, it's just such a great way. And Airbnb are giving all their, like, fees that they would normally charge straight to the person. So they don't do that.
Okay, so it's essentially a known way to help.
Just physically getting money into people's pockets so that they can get food, fuel, water, like basics of whatever they can get, or even to get out, right? Because people pay people to get out. But then the other thing that Airbnb are doing, which I only found out yesterday, which they shared with me, is that they're now doing a call out to people around Europe and around surrounding countries saying, can you house refugees?
Right.
We will pay you to house them. Because the thing is that for those of you who don't realize, so being February, even though it's actually March, it is cold.
Yeah.
It's freezing. It's snowing. Okay. It's not warm. It's like minus 20 something degrees at night. And in a tent, that's pretty freezing. Yeah, and if you're a child, I mean, anyway. So, yeah, tent cities right now is just not an option. People need to
to go into people's houses.
Yes, ideally.
Okay.
And so people are, like, Airbnb said, will you open up your home? So there's a whole new campaign they've just launched. So I shared it with all my friends in Europe.
You can fund someone's stay at someone's house in neighbouring countries.
Well, not I don't know about that one. So Airbnb is just going to be paying people.
Right,
just
got it.
That, like, that's just their sort of through their foundation. They're doing that, and separately in Ukraine to get money to people in Ukraine.
Okay,
so I just think
it's such a great way to do
it. Good way to do it. And then obviously there's amazing, you know, the UNHCR, Red Cross, all the usuals to, you know, contribute to that you can. Otherwise it's like, what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do?
We're so far away, thank God, but at the same time, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, but there is so much going on, and yes. So I must say, I haven't read an awful. I've been reading, but I've only got one book to share.
Okay.
What should we start?
Yeah. So let's start.
Where do you want to start?
Okay. So I'm going to start with some art, because I feel like we should lift the mood.
I agree. So,
let's start with some art.
What have you seen lately with art?
Well, I went back to the Matisse because I want to take the family before it closed.
And so closed, of course, this weekend, unfortunately, for those of you listening, it just did close on the 13th of March.
This weekend was the end. But it's always a very different experience when it's busy. So the first time it was quiet and really got to walk around. I loved it. So, and it was very busy, which is good, because I think, all those people going to see art.
Yes.
It's lovely. Yeah,
it is.
It's a really nice
everyone
to see.
Everyone masked up?
No.
Lots of
very
masks.
Very few masks, which I really...
I have mine here.
Maybe I'm an outlier, but I don't see the big deal of putting my mask on to walk around.
No.
Anyway, if it saves me.
Exactly. Well, I'm also concerned I might be asymptomatic, you know, young and younger and healthy and fit, and might pass it on to somebody elderly there. I mean, never ethically
someone
feel comfortable.
Someone with asthma, someone with,
Well, not even old, just, immune compromised.
You know, I do like that idea of the whole community working for the benefit of the whole community.
I know, but there was an article over the weekend where New South Wales Health is saying we should mask up again because the new variant's coming through. Thanks, Omicron B2.
Yeah.
More contagious, another 30% on top of the already very contagious Omicron.
Yeah.
So I'm like, big deal, wear masks.
Big deal, wear masks.
Our kids in year 12 are wearing masks. Did you know that? Voluntarily.
Oh, are they? Right.
Yeah, because they're like, we don't want to catch it. We don't want to give it to our teachers. We've got HSC this year. We want to be careful. And I'm thinking,
they're
17 and they've got their heads screwed on right. Like, get
that's
it.
Really...
They want to take care of one another.
Yep. We were at the Spot Festival yesterday and my kids they like to wear their masks, and I don't tell them to, they just wear them.
Yep.
It's become almost second nature, I think. And I reckon 1% of the enormous packed crowd. I mean, it was outside. We're wearing them. And again, I do kind of, you don't have to put it on the whole time. You can take it on and off.
But when you're in a slightly more condensed area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So,
yeah, my daughter went to the Spot Festival yesterday too. She? I'm surprised you didn't see each other in the thousands. But she said it was great.
Actually, crazy. Fun thing. Everyone had just kind of gone, yay, we can have festivals again.
It felt good to be out because we were in Canberra. And there was the Enlightened Festival. It wasn't spiritual or anything. It was like Vivid, basically.
Oh, okay.
So light on government buildings. And in the middle, there was like basically, it looked like a farm, I don't know, hoedown.
Oh.
It had big like barrels of hay and like lights and bit of boot scooting, but it was like a bit more city-like. But anyway, so that was quite fun. And it was so good. I actually was very happy to be... It wasn't too crowded because it was quite spacious. Yeah. I mean, it's still Canberra, mind you. And it was, but just the lights on the buildings. I haven't seen Vivid in 2 years.
Stuff on. It's nice.
It lifted my spirits.
Yeah, I know.
In art, it was like that. And so, like, I didn't get to the Matisse. I wanted to, but there was just too much going on. I think I may have said last time, you know, I have seen it before in London. Paris in the Pompidou.
It is the Pompidou.
It's the Pompidou.
It's the Pompidou.
So I wasn't that upset. And Matisse is lovely, but it's a little bit like,
yeah.
Like I love it, don't get me wrong. But it's not like in my top 10. So.
No. Well, that's, you'll have seen it before.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's beautiful. It's childlike. It's perfect for the kids.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Now on that, Finding the Archibald on ABC with Rachel Griffith. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Three parts.
Yeah. It's really Archibald sort of TV thing, is it?
Yeah, so the theme of it is to find the missing Archibalds, to kind of track the change or how the Archibald has, the change in the choices and the winners has reflected the change in
society
since it started 100 years ago. The first Indigenous winner.
Yes.
In 2021 and
embarrassing.
And she's Rachel Griffiths is the host and she's just very engaging.
Wonderful.
She's very much herself, and in the course of the show her portrait is done. It's three-parter. It's fantastic.
I'll definitely have to go and watch that because I love that. So I was part of a group. I missed the membership cycle. I'll definitely join up again for next year. It's called Fearless. And what it is, it's through the Art Gallery of New South Wales, and it's to support female artists and the bringing out of... Because, as you know, like the Art Gallery has like a lot of works that are hidden or that they don't put out. So it's about trying to create more gender balance in what art of... is actually presented.
Right. It's like the Stella for art.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. So this organisation, or it's basically a group, Fearless. And so they have different events and different things that go on. I think just when COVID was starting a couple of years ago, we went to an event for International Women's Day.
Yeah, I think I missed that.
Was the other friend.
Yeah.
Sorry. You did get an invite.
I did.
But it was through there that I joined. And, yeah, so it's a really great organisation and what they do. And it is through the Art Gallery of New South Wales. So, I mean, that actually is a really nice segue, actually, because when in Canberra, just over the weekend, so I went to the National Portrait Gallery and to the National Gallery as well.
Yes.
So the Know My Name exhibition is still on.
Oh,
so the part
still on.
Two
okay.
is still on. And so they've done, because there's so many pieces that they've found, which is so awesome. So just as a quick refresher to those who don't know, Know My Name is Australian female artists, pretty much for all time that since, let's say, white colonization, because I mean there are Indigenous artworks from before, but I don't think they were documented as such, but definitely the last couple of hundred years, just brilliant. Just such a myriad of fantastic artists that just love that. And there's a Jeffrey Smart starting as well in a few weeks. Which wasn't open yet, which I think it might be. And so the National Portrait Gallery on the weekend, because it was National Canberra Day, or it is today, actually. It's a public holiday in Victoria, I think, today as well.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Oh,
Canberra, Adelaide, I think.
Labor Day?
Perth, a whole lot of other people. Did you know that New South Wales has one less public holiday than the rest of Australia?
I knew something was something.
I think
something
we need to start a political party. Yeah. It's like the Daylight Savings Party.
What are we missing?
Or there's also, I don't know if you've ever seen on the New South Wales elections, there's the party. There's, of course, the legalised marijuana party, but there's, my favourite is the party, followed by the Daylight Savings Party.
Were they for it or against it?
To not have Daylight Savings. Oh. But I'm for having Daylight Savings, personally. But anyway, the party.
Why would you be against it?
So at the National Portrait Gallery on Saturday, they launched, it's called Shakespeare to Winehouse. So it's from the National Portrait Gallery in London, so you know, of course, very famous.
Okay, yeah.
Place, of which I have not visited myself personally. It was not one of the many museums that they have, but it's a brilliant exhibition of everything.
So that's here. That's here
now. Oh. It literally is just opened
in Canberra.
Definitely worth the trip down.
Oh, there's so much on.
Saw the balloons as well in the morning. Right. So that was the sloth, apparently the biggest hit. Yes, all happening. Brilliant exhibition. And the way they've done it is not chronological, but they've done it by themes. So power or innovation or different things. And so there's just different. Pictures of like Queen Elizabeth and the first one. There's like Vivian Westwood and photography. It's like all different types.
Oh, wow.
Just
brilliant.
Really good. Even the Queen, the current Queen, she was a hologram. It was very cool. And then all sorts of other very interesting. There was one of Charles Darwin, and it was like very Harry Potter-esque. I felt like he was about to walk out of the painting and come up and say hello to me. Like it was the movement and the light was just incredible. It's a very good exhibition, and whilst you're saying Sydneysiders don't wear masks, I would say 75% of the people there wore masks. Canberrans are much more
like a rule.
Yes, they love a good rule and they like sticking with it. So that was really quite awesome. Also what started on Saturday, which I will definitely be going to, is the Biennale started.
Yay! Woo!
In Sydney. So there's a whole lot of stuff at the MCA. No Cockatoo Island this year though.
Okay.
I had a look. Couldn't see any of that. But there's definitely stuff. And the theme is rivers, which is all about water, which is very appropriate.
Did you say rivers?
Rivers, R-I-V-U-S, which apparently is Latin for river or something.
Right.
My 5 years of Latin have clearly helped me.
What?
But it's all about water and waterways and how water connects us. And so there's a whole water theme, which I thought, considering El Niño is not pissing off, it's very appropriate. So that's on till June. So we've got a few months
to go check that out.
There's a few different locations. You can go. I'll pop the in the show notes. I'll put the
where
link.
We can go.
Maybe we can do an outing or something. Oh, and you know what's coming out in a couple of weeks as well? The program for the Sydney Writers Festival.
Okay,
so
all right, we'll get on
that's happening in May, but it's coming out in 2 weeks, so we'll need to always. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully by then this current wave will pass.
Yes,
because
exactly.
That's like, you know, it comes and goes so quickly
going
these
out,
days.
Zip up.
Exactly.
Zip up hazmat suits.
PPE and it's like a go in. Exactly. So there's lots of art going on.
Yes, good.
Which has been very good for the soul.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. It's just. Yeah. I mean, it is so nice to sort of see the world re-emerging from the chrysalis that it's been in, really.
Well, Saturday night, I must say, and I'm off to the opera tonight to see Turandot. So, there's just just having a bit of a reconnection to the world. It's been a very insular.
Yeah,
not just a few months, but just everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's been good. What else have you been reading, watching, doing?
Yeah, so reading. So I read Joyce Carol Oates.
Don't you love it when people's names are like first, second, and you don't know?
I feel like the Carols naturally should go first.
Absolutely. Joyce is not really a common name.
No, no.
For now.
Joyce Carol Oates.
Okay.
Joyce Carol Oates. Blonde.
Yes.
Which is the story. So it's a fictionalised account of Marilyn Monroe's life.
I was about to ask. Yeah, sounds.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I picked it up. One of those random bookshop selections, and I think I'd had heard of it, and so it follows the course of her life, but really from inside her mind,
so
it's really kind of and her slow unraveling, essentially. And it's like a real story about a woman being exploited by the time and becoming really essentially a sexual object that was kind of under loathed or idolized or and it's all very much of that, the Marilyn as a character she plays, and it's not her. So anyway, so just really good, very long though, and at some point I just went, I think I'm just going to just fast forward to the end. So
was it an audible, was it, or was
it was a printed, right, printed book. So and then I've moved on to the book two of the Cazalets
story. So
I was actually talking to your mum about the how much we love this series. And so just that's a nice book to escape Ukraine wars and floods. That's kind of nice. Yep.
Sometimes need that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, there's one line in it about because it's the start of the war, and
right,
and due to the pact between Russia and Germany, they have Germany has invaded Poland, then. That, you know, you think, well, the cards fell, and I'm thinking, oh God, I don't know, do I need to be writing this?
Well, I'm feeling very similarly because I'm reading the People of the Book, which is about this, the Sarajevo Haggadah, which is
Geraldine's book.
So it's a bit of an older book. It's about 15 or so years old. But so it's set in different times of when things were happening to this Haggadah, which is, it's a fictionalized story of something that was true as well, because it does exist. So it starts with this art. Well, it's not. It's a very noisy bird.
It's talking to us.
Is that minor bird?
Yeah.
Hello. Do you want to join our podcast?
It's actually talking to us.
Well, maybe it's got something to say. Don't worry, people. It came nowhere near Liz. We're talking at least 1.5 meters social distancing there, but it did fly a little close.
It was an aggressive maneuver.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll protect you. Don't worry. It's gone.
Drop and roll.
Drop and roll. Like a nuclear. It's a bird. It's a bird. Oh my God.
I think it was a baby bird.
I think it may have been a little one. So it's all based on this book. Starts in 1996 she's a book restoration specialist.
I think I read this.
Oh, okay. It jumps through time, and it starts in Sarajevo in 1996, just after the war. And so there's, again, you know, just with Ukraine and everything, it's just all a bit too close to home. But I am reading it, and it, you know, you go to World War II and how they save it in that time, and then it goes back to Austria in the 1890s when they're restoring it, to then in the Venice in the 1600s.
So it follows the journey of the book, doesn't it?
So, you know, and they talk about the expulsion and the Inquisition of 1492, and then so the book is, you know, kind of goes, travels through time and is sort of these landmarks in time of various wars and tragedies, but somehow this book has survived, and it's this beautifully illuminated book. And the irony of this whole thing is actually an old colleague of mine, as a birthday present, gave me a copy of it, like a replication of it. And at the time, I didn't know the importance of this book, but now I have, because I was looking at it the other night, and I went, oh, okay, now I understand why, because I'm reading this whole book, which of course is it's based on true story, but it's sort of, what do they call it? Story, fictionalized, faction.
Yeah,
like faction, or anyway.
Based on a true story. So where is the original now?
Back in Sarajevo, in the museum.
Museum, right?
Yes, okay. I believe so. Don't hold me to that. But I believe that's where it is now sitting. But it's the whole book is meant to be this. And I looked at it, the copy I have, and it's quite medieval, in style. Almost quite Christian in its imagery. A lot of gold and very bright colours.
The blues and
reds, bold and just beautiful. Really beautiful. So it's a really interesting. Okay. I'm loving the book.
Yep.
It's a book of the people.
I have the most enormous pile on my bedside table. I just, acquiring them. I keep going to Kunikuniya and coming out with. Keep getting more books. Yeah,
I've got a growing list as well. So I think with the cooler months coming and
more reading time. Yes, yeah.
Yes. Yep. But watching, I have been watching quite a few things. Have you
all right,
been?
Well, can we talk Maisel?
Yes.
And are you up to date?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Lenny Bruce.
Was that just the most brilliant episode.
Oh my god.
I just felt like flayed after watching that. First of all, I just love what they've done with this season, because it's rather than just kind of follow, like I felt like we were following her adventures, and they've just done something different.
Totally.
With this. Yep. And even like the romance, like the, you go, I'm glad they're together, like in that for however long. But that wasn't really the point of the episode. The point is he's her kind of mentor and the only one that can break through her stubbornness. Mm-hmm. And but it was so well done. And he's so good at that role. Good. And just the funny lines.
They're
running past the newspaper stand.
Yes.
And he grabs the newspaper and she's got to pay for that.
Yes.
He's got to make a living. And he says, you don't know, it could be a hobby. Like, just that. It's all just firing. And that's
constantly
the show that she works for is just like grad. Starts off so hokey and crap. And then by the end, it's just so over the top.
Exactly.
Fabulous. I just love every time.
Every time she gets involved, everything becomes fabulous.
It's so fabulous.
It's so fabulous.
But I'm blown away. But that's it. That's the last ep.
Oh, was that it?
One more season that they're filming now.
Oh, no. So season 5. Filming season 5.
That'll be the last.
So season 4 only has 8 episodes.
Yeah, so you don't know.
And I devoured them because they released them 2 a week. And I was just like, I was like Cookie Monster with a cookie every week. Oh, thank God Friday. Oh, for the weekend.
Yes, I know. So
so good.
It was kind of sneaky, the 2, right? Like you get an extra fix, but not. You got to wait for another
hop. I couldn't hop back. I had no willpower.
Oh,
every
so
time
great.
I just devoured.
So great. And it was kind of like almost like hyper-realistic this time as well with the...
And there was also incredible strong themes. I mean, the whole feminist theme was so powerful, and her doing it her way. And why could he do it his way, and why can't she?
But she almost blows herself up by doing it that way. Like great about it, right?
Exactly.
Like
that's the whole problem, isn't it? So like, you're trying to do things like a man, but that's the whole point.
You need to do things your way
as a woman, not trying to do your things like a man.
Which is
the whole premise, really, of what we're trying to deal with, essentially, isn't it?
Just and that whole sort of soliloquy she does about, she's talking about women and nurses and imagine if we were as powerful as God.
And then somebody just forgot to tell us.
Yeah, really genuinely
honest.
Amazing sort of stuff. And another favourite scene was when her dad writes the obituary for... Moish, and it was just so good. They brought the 13 Jews in.
We know the story, we went over all the old stories. And then you took us in and you looked after us.
Just
and then everyone's like going, and the two men are the ones who are getting emotional, and the mother's like, all right, who wants ice cream? I'll get ice cream. I'll get coffee. I don't have money. That's okay. I'll buy you ice cream.
Beautifully done scene. Beautifully done scene.
It was a very, it was all just fabulous, awesome.
Fabulous last ep. So anyway.
I need to rewatch it because it's one of those things where I feel like the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is a bit like the West Wing in that it is so fast and and there's so much in it and there's so many layers and I don't know. I'm not overly superficial, but, like, I mean, the clothes are so friggin' fabulous.
Well,
and it's New York.
It is part of the appeal of it, right?
Well,
it is like...
And it's stylized.
It is
stylized.
It's a stylized version. It's not a...
Yeah, no.
It's not a...
But it's also... And it's also very glamorous. It's that time of the late 50s, early 60s, of this very perceived glamorous time in New York and whatever, and it's such a... Oh, my God. And so sometimes I feel like I might miss...
I have not gone back and watched them again, but I think I have to go back and start again in
a future, which is always very possible. Somebody in the household gets COVID. I mean, God forbid, but it's chance that you that you know you're in lockdown for whatever reason, or the kids are sent home, or whatever, and you've got all this spare time. That might be a rewatch.
I think it'd be nice to rewatch before the final season.
That's a good idea.
In a year or whenever, they'll probably release it next year. I think
which is kind of what I did with Sex and the City as well. Yeah, that I'd watch that and then and just like that.
Right,
and
yeah.
It was actually a really nice segue into it. And that was due to we thought it was a COVID lockdown, but it turned out not to be.
Yeah.
I mean, people do get sick these days without COVID.
I know,
it's
always a shock, right?
I mean, seriously, like what? There's other illnesses?
We've had a few of those too.
So yes, loved Marvelous.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Great.
And what else?
Yeah.
Have you been? Anything?
So I think that's my measly list. Now,
Killing Eve. is back.
Okay, yes.
Have you, did you ever?
Look, I did the first two seasons.
Yeah.
And then I just got a bit overwhelmed with Blood and Guts.
Okay, so this season is not so much Blood and Guts.
But what are we up to? What
season
number?
Season 3. So you're up to date.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So now it's more just psychopathic love.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But it hasn't fizzled out?
No. It's not really good. And it's so funny. And again, the clothes.
Yeah, the clothes. Yeah, yeah.
She's just such a
maybe
psycho.
I need to go back there.
Brilliant. And you know, she's English.
Yes.
She does a Russian accent, but she's actually not Russian.
But also, I just thought she was an actual real life psychopath. She's so good in that role.
She's so
You
psych-
can't actually cope with it. Like, I couldn't meet her
and
in real
Phoebe,
life.
You know, Phoebe is one of the writers in it.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, well,
but that's why I think we love it so much, because it's just so, and it's all female. Like, it's a female, like, all written by women,
really,
directed by women. It's a very female, yet it's one of the most violent, gory, fabulous, like.
But it is, I guess, it is cartoon violence, right?
Like, I mean, there is one scene where Eve is trying not to be a psychopath and killing people, but she like breaks and she like kills someone, and it's all you see. It's like a tent, and the light, and her like. Hitting and then the blood on the tent and someone trying to escape and she's holding her back.
Maybe
and then,
maybe it's
don't
cathartic.
Actually see it.
Maybe it's cathartic.
Yeah, well, then she goes to see a psychiatrist for the day.
Right, okay.
It's good. I didn't mean to.
I feel like my psychopathic tendencies are out of control.
And she's like, I feel guilty. And then the psych is like, well, psychopaths don't feel guilt, so clearly you're on the mend. So, yes, okay, bad you.
Like,
slap on wrist for killing two people, but...
Well, here's our bird friend.
Hello. Please don't attack Liz. She's a little worried.
Yeah.
No, but you're very pretty. Got a very... I like that yellow. That's like a very nice warm yellow on the nose.
Yeah, nice. He's put together that grey-yellow combo nicely.
Good, nice outfit. Yeah, well done. 10 out of 10. So what else have I been watching? House of Gucci.
Oh.
Movie.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes.
It's got the dude who plays Darth Vader when he's a kid. Forgotten his name as an actor, the young Darth Vader. He was in The Marriage Story and a few other things.
Oh, I know.
So he's Gucci.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lady Gaga is Mrs. Gucci.
Really?
Oh, it's movie. A big movie.
Ah.
So it was at sort of like, not that anyone was going to the movies, but it was at the outdoor cinema, which I tried to book tickets for, but every time it would rain.
Yeah, like they've had a bad year.
Bad
those
year.
People, yeah.
So, you know, the one at, I think the Westpac one at the Lady Macquarie's chair.
Yeah, yep.
So And then when it wasn't raining, it was fully booked. And right. I love it. It's a great experience, but I just was like, I don't love it that much. I want to sit in the rain. So it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
An alternative. So I paid whatever, $15, and it was fine. It was inside.
Okay, right, nice.
I did popcorn. It was great.
Yep.
So
you could put bean bags in your
and
lounge.
And I love it. It's Italy and a bit of New York, and it's 60s, 70s, 80s, it's fashion. But it's more about the family and the relationship. And look, Gucci's not even run by anyone in the family anymore because of all the infighting. So it just talks to the how power and money and how it impacts family and screws people up. And, you know, that old chestnut,
yeah.
But it's fun and it's a good movie. And I wouldn't think it's an Academy Award winning, but it's good escapism.
Okay.
Right. What else have I been watching? Oh, Catherine the Great. Season 2.
Okay, so I've missed
that's
the first
just
round. I've
brilliant.
Got a mental block with doing this show for some reason.
You will love it. It's history. It's feminist.
Yep.
It's fashion. And it's just fucking funny.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, so, like, to apologise.
That's 4 out of 4. We'll have to put like explicit... Are you okay?
Yeah,
stress?
No. Yeah, it must be the birds set me off.
I'm so sorry.
Just cover this on.
And then the other one, which is hilarious, which my daughter and I yell across the room with each other on this one, is Inventing Anna. Have you...
So I did the podcast of this.
Oh, did
so
you? Is there a podcast?
Yeah, there was
of
a
it?
Podcast. That's the. I think the show came out of the podcast.
That's not the Tinder Swindler?
No, it is about the Anna.
Inventing
yeah,
Anna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so she has this funniest accent in this TV show, and she's like, a bit like German, Russian, and a bit posh. And she's like, oh my God, this is not VIP. Why is this not VIP? I want my dinner now.
Okay.
And so my daughter and I have this whole yelling thing. She's like, oh my God, the light is not going green. Don't they know who I am? And it's very funny. And it's such a, at first I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch it. I couldn't be bothered. But it was one of those weekends when it was just raining and I was just packing for the renovation.
It was just the right thing for the mood.
Yeah, it was perfect. And I was like howling with laughter, not so much in the TV show, but afterwards how I would speak with my daughter about it because she was watching it too. This is not therapy.
I'm gonna have to watch this
because
now.
It's all about very what it's about. It's a bit similar to that podcast that we listened to with the chick who's now been put in jail.
Bad blood. Theranos.
Yes, Elizabeth Holmes. So it's all about how people in society or with great wealth, how easily they actually get influenced or potentially swayed. I mean, she would...
They're just con artists, essentially. Probably some sort of disorder that means they don't feel any kind of remorse.
But she kind of was so caught up in her own... Like, she actually believed her own lies.
Yeah.
Like, she actually kind of... Or that's how it comes across anyway. Yeah. That I don't know if it's a psychopathic thing.
Yeah, I wonder if it is connected to that. Cause...
But there is definitely something mentally... Her cognitive dissonance is like... Poof, like 10 kilometres apart from reality. I mean, seriously, like really. It's a fascinating story.
Okay.
And then I also watched, even though I kind of didn't want to watch it, having done a bit of online dating occasionally, not lately, of course.
Tinder Swindler.
Definitely not lately. Tinder Swindler.
Okay.
Yeah, scary story, but also just shows how easily a very good con man or woman can come into one's life and just, you know. So basically don't give somebody your credit card details and put out a credit card for them. And then once they kind of hit, I don't know, a few grand that they might be owing you, maybe stop.
But these women,
like, he was basically stealing from one to give to the other and having these luxurious lives and just would continue that sort of trend.
Like a Ponzi scheme of Tinder
roughly dates. Around $250,000 per person, which, look, I'm not saying that that's not a lot of money. It is, because the people he was swindling were people like you and me.
Ordinary people who weren't
gazillionaires, but then would lead this, like, ridiculous lifestyle of private jets and, you know, massive boats in Mallorca and whatever. Just crazy. And so having watched those two, like, and I'm like, okay, I just need to ground. This is just not a real world.
Need to retreat. Well, you got to retreat to fiction after that.
So after that, I went to watch a documentary thinking, okay, well, it's about Studio 54, which was really quite good. I did not know the full history about it.
No, I don't know anything about it.
So Ian Schrager, who's this hotelier, who I've known as this designer, and his son also does stuff. Anyway, he... just amazing hotel person. He and this other guy, Bill Rubel, I think his name is, they set up Studio 54 and became like this most incredible nightclub. And like, I mean, we've all heard of it, but the downfall, like how they were skimming money and the drugs and the, oh my God, it just was diabolical by the end. But it was just at an age where I think I just missed... Just because, I mean, I was kind of alive for part of it, but I was obviously in diapers, so I wasn't quite out there dancing.
And not in the same country, yeah.
Yeah, as well, yeah. But everyone had heard of it, so it just had such a...
So that's a doco that's on Netflix. At the moment. Right, yeah. Okay.
Actually, and then the last documentary, and I know you got a flight, was Fire in Winter, I think it is. It's on Netflix, and it talks about the Maidan revolution in Ukraine back in 2013-14, so from... November to February, I think roughly, of how Ukrainians were fighting against the government because they wanted to join the EU and they said yes, and then the president of the time, his name escapes me and I should really know it, made deals with Putin because he was a Russian sympathizer, because he was a Russian puppet. And just to understand a little bit about where we are today, I thought it was a very good documentary. And it won at the Venice Film Festival, and it just shows how powerful and resistant the Ukrainians are. And then, of course, the thing that a lot of people don't know is that during the 1930s, Stalin even created to try and crush Ukrainian spirit, because, of course, after this was 1933, so before the war, was trying to get more... sorry, not 1933, what year was it? Stalin. He was... would have been, actually.
Then, yep.
Yeah, created this fake... not fake, but an enforced famine where people were dying, like 25,000 people a day.
Yes.
A day.
And then to I try think and Russian, weaken. And then Russians were moved into those parts of Ukraine. I was reading about this, yeah, which...
I think it's Homodovar, I think it's pronounced. And it's just this horrific history of Russia just constantly trying to get Ukraine. And it's just horrific. Yeah. So I'm, so sort of ended up in a bad place, that place. But it's a very good documentary. Very good documentary and definitely worth watching. But Guard Your Loins, it's intense. But also uplifting at the same time because it just shows their resilience and how they just never gave up. And in the end, they won. That Russian supporter exited the country and then they had elections and the current one is now in. Who used to be a comedian. I know the story.
Yeah, I know. Extraordinary. Yeah.
I saw the funniest thing of him doing single ladies in high heel boots and pleather hot pants on the weekend. But, meanwhile, he's turning out to be one of the most incredible leaders in the world right now.
Extraordinary.
How good is he?
I without him, what would have happened? So there's just the unifying force for that.
And the irony is that Putin's saying, the neo-Nazis, he's Jewish.
I know. Where to begin? Where to begin with that?
It's just devastating. Well, let's hope the next time we catch up, there might be slightly better news in the world.
Let's hope so. Yep.
But I don't know.
In the meantime, there's always books.
There is always books. Let's do more. I commit today to do... Like I do it every time. I'm going to read more and watch less. I really do need to do that.
Fist bump.
Yep. Okay, done.
All right.
Okay. Always good seeing you, my love.
You too, now.
Yay.
Lovely. In the park, in the sunshine. All right.
Social distance kissing. All right.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.